Amy, on this podcast, we try to always offer useful takeaways. And if you learn nothing else from us, learn this useful parenting lesson by Pampers Cruisers 360.
Pampers Cruisers 360 are the ultimate parent hack, the best diaper to use as soon as your baby starts standing or walking. Instead of ordinary diaper tabs, they have a unique 360-degree stretchy waistband that moves with your wild child.
Pampers Cruisers 360 makes it so easy to change your baby. Who probably doesn't stop moving just because they need a diaper changed? Just slide on to apply and away they go.
And fear not, parents. Pampers Cruisers 360 offers an up to 100% leak-free fit. And they just got even better with a new blowout barrier. Need we say more?
For trusted protection, trust Pampers, the number one pediatrician recommended brand. Download the Pampers Club app today and earn Pampers cash. Then redeem your Pampers cash for exclusive Pampers coupons, savings, and rewards.
Only redeemable via Pampers Club. Pampers cash has no cash value.
You don't want to melee at the sip and see. That's a bad look.
What fresh hell?
Laughing in the face of motherhood.
You will need your anger now.
With Margaret Apples
and Amy Wilson.
I'm a journeyman traveler to the world of Southern ways.
A podcast that solves today's parenting dilemmas.
So you don't have to.
Not my husband. No, he never does anything wrong.
Hello and welcome to What Fresh Hell? Laughing in the Face of Motherhood. This is Margaret.
And this is Amy. And today we are talking about grudges held, grudges kept, and are they justified? Which I think, yes, they're all justified. Are they justified? Parenthesis, yes.
This is very important, Amy, because we're not here to solve these grudges or to be like, it's time to let go or, you know, people make mistakes. We're not here to solve it today. We're just here to get in the mud and revel in some grudges because...
Hold space for your grudges.
Yes, we're both Irish people. And if there's anything Irish people are known for, it's grudge holding.
It's non-confrontational grudge holding. Right. When I'm going to tell you about it, I'm just going to be mad for 50 years.
Exactly.
Isn't that better?
All right, you get into mailbag before I get into anything else.
Oh, yes. Wait a minute. Time for mailbag. Wait. Check the mailbag.
This week's mailbag is from Tracy in the Facebook group. You can always find us at facebook.com/groups/whatfreshhellcast. This is a group-led activity. Everybody's been posting the increasingly ridiculous theme days that their schools are having, like dress-up days.
I would say, Amy, let's say it. This is a grudge. People are a little annoyed at these schools.
Right. This is a grudge-related mailbag. And Tracy wins. I think we all agree that Tracy wins. Her kids' class had Monday mixed-up chameleon day with like assigned colors like lime green and purple based on your grade. Then Tuesday, brown bear day, dress as your favorite animal. Wednesday, hungry caterpillar day, dress as your favorite food. Thursday, the tiny seed day, dress as your favorite plant. Friday character day, dress as your favorite book character. And everybody in the comments was just like, this is a prank. Who hurt you? Like, this is crazy. Dress as your favorite plant.
And God bless schools. I always want to stick up for schools. They're trying to make it fun. But this is a nightmare. No child has a favorite plant. My kid came down. I was laughing because it must be, I don't know, it's a national hysteria going on with these theme days. My son came down and said it was funny hat day. And I gave him, I have a big, beach hat, like a giant pink beach hat. And I was like, here, this is funny if it's on you. I mean, that's all you're getting. This is
like gag.
It's the great line from Raising Arizona where she says, do you have balloons in funny shapes? And then the guy says, not unless round is funny. And it's like, that's it. I'm like, this here's a hat. It's a crazy hat. If you wear it, that's what makes it crazy. That's a deserved grudge that any school is asking you for this much costumery in the dark of winter. Like, it's wrong.
Yes.
We don't support it. We love you, schools, for trying to be fun. We don't judge you, but this is wrong.
Yes.
Morally and spiritually, it is wrong.
Yes.
Before we got to mailbag, we were talking about being Irish people with grudges. And I wanted to tell a story that we were once in my grandmother's apartment where she lived with her sister who was 2 years older. My grandmother and her sister were born in 1899 and 1901. We have very long generations in my family. and they were having an argument about a dress.
Wait, what year is this? We're like in 1911, we're fighting about the dress?
No. This is year like 1992.
Oh.
Right before they died.
Okay.
And they're having an argument about a dress. My brother and I were there doing something, fixing something, making dinner. Who knows what we were doing? This was years and years and years ago. In the 90s, children. And they were having this argument. You shouldn't have worn the dress. It was mine. The yellow dress really was mine. Mom always said, no, the pink one was yours. And going back and forth. And my brother, over their heads, looked at me and was like, this happened in 1917. And they were fighting about it in 1991. And like, that's how we roll, the Irish. Like, if you stole my dress in 1917, you will be hearing about it in 1991.
I'm going to hold it in my tissues and marrow and bring it up later.
And let me just say, respect.
Yes.
That's how I roll. I like a grudge. I like nursing a grudge. Are there downsides? Maybe some other day we'll be like, you know, is there healing and letting stuff go? That's not what we're doing today. I mean, we're nursing.
And these are tiny grudges. We asked our listeners, what's something you've nursed, even though you know you shouldn't have, but darn it, you just can't let it go? Yes, the kid who wouldn't let you sit with them in second grade counts.
Yes.
And boy, did you deliver.
Oh, I mean, we have a lot of tiny micro. These are micro grudges.
Okay.
Let's start with Naomi. This is just right in the strike zone for us. A kid hit me over the head with a flute in its case in fifth grade.
Yeah. Stay mad.
There's no more to the story than that. Stay mad, Naomi. That was wrong.
What's that quote from A Wrinkle in Time? Like, you will need your anger now. Like, stay mad, little Naomi.
Exactly. Use your anger. Like, it's Star Wars, right? Like, come to the dark side. Feel the anger.
That kid should not have done that.
Kid should not. We're totally Team Naomi. That was absolutely wrong. Katie, now this was a good one. One time Delta Airlines website had a glitch and I was able to book two first class flights to Hawaii for $40. I texted my husband, should I do it? And he said he had to work. Then he said they probably wouldn't have honored it anyway, but they did. I should have gone by myself.
Or literally anybody else, right? Like, it seems to me like,
yeah, just pick a friend.
I've got a $40 first class ticket to Hawaii. I feel like that's a hot ticket.
I would never let that go. I would never let that. I don't know how you live with this monster, Katie. I mean, I would never let that go.
Then I'd hold a grudge against myself because I definitely would have been like, well, I should buy these, but let me see what the reasonable part of my family thinks. And yeah, and my spouse would be like, yeah, and I would have, yeah, I would have done the same thing. I would have checked with somebody first. I'm a grown up. Buy the tickets.
Just buy them. Yeah. I mean, I'm definitely team. This is a marital problem I definitely have, which is my husband's like, well, on the other hand, and I'm like, I'm not always looking for the other side of the equation.
Right. There is no other side to a mistake in the Delta Airlines website. Just buy, click.
Jillian's mom could be our mom, Amy.
Okay.
My mom goes around banning family members from all the businesses that have wronged her in the past. 30 years ago, she went to a car dealership and they commented something about her husband coming back with her. And she still mentions it to every person who brings up buying a car.
Respect, right?
This is exactly how we were in the family. Like, you would pass a bagel store and be like, that place burnt a bagel once and then charge me full price. And I mean, you would do the math and that would have literally happened 14 years ago. But we just would, like, you know how people spit on the ground to curse places? Like, you would spit on the ground whenever you saw that bagel place.
This is not my family's tradition, but
oh.
You know, we used to do this. One of my best friends from high school, who's still my friend to this day, she and her roommate, like, the guy was rude to her roommate at the bodega across the street. So they were like, yeah, let's not go there anymore. And then like 2 years later, my friend found out that her roommate, like, she kept up the boycott for like 4 days because it was the store across the street. And my friend had been keeping it going, like walking blocks out of her way for 2 years to hold a grudge on behalf of her friend who had long ago forgotten that that was a thing.
Correct. I had that roommate in college who was like, don't tell her anyone who you're mad at, because I would say, like, you know, Amy on the podcast, she hung up on me the other day, and then I would move on. And 3 years later, she would dog you at a party and just be like glaring at you because she was just an ultimate grudge holder. And if you said, oh, my boyfriend, you know, didn't call me back, she would never speak to that person again. I mean, you had to be so careful. If you lit her grudge flame, it was never going out. On a similar theme, I love moms who hold grudges. It just, I don't know why it lights my fire. Tanisha says, my Jamaican mother has boycotted the Chiquita company for over 15 years because they no longer valued the Caribbean as a profitable market to distribute to. She would buy all her groceries at one store and buy non-Chiquita bananas from another store. My mother left Jamaica in 1978 and hasn't lived there since. I still totally support your mom, Tanisha. All for this kind of stuff.
How could the Caribbean not be a good banana market? Think about the daiquiris being sold at all the resorts all over the Caribbean.
It's a mystery. We have not reached out to the Chiquita Company for comment, so please be clear that we do not know the factual basis.
This might not even be true. They might totally value the Caribbean at this point, but Tanisha's mom doesn't care.
That can be kind of the boycott that I love, which is just like your friend with the bodega. It's like, I'm holding a grudge on something. I don't even remember the origins of this, but recently I had an event and my sister came down in an orange dress, which is the color of the English during the Troubles in Ireland.
Uh-huh.
And my dad was like, what kind of Irish girl wears an orange dress? Like he was just like, he wasn't really mad, but he was kind of taken aback. Like, why would you ever wear the color of the country we were in conflict with, you know, 50 years ago, and that we were not directly involved in? But it was just funny, like, you know.
And he wasn't there.
He wasn't there, but it does go on. Like, he just was like, I don't understand why you would buy / wear an orange dress. I like it. Hold those grudges, people.
Yeah, hold those grudges. Kate, I can identify with this one. Kate says she lost the 4th grade spelling bee with the word jaguar. There were 2 of us left. I would have won, people, she says.
Can I tell you, when I saw this on the list, I was like, this is an Amy Wilson grudge for the ages. Like, I know this is going to light you up.
Well, because this is me, right? I did the spelling bee a couple years. My sister was like spelling bee champ, went to nationals. She was on ESPN. She was like top 10 in the country. Molly.
How did I not know that fun fact? Amazing. You go, Molly.
I mean, crazy because she's 10 years younger than me.
That tracks from what I know about Molly. That works.
Yeah, yeah. She's super smart. But it was crazy because I remember well, I was living in New York. It was the first year that the spelling bee was on ESPN, but it was still long enough ago that there weren't cell phones or doctors had cell phones and that was it. So I knew it was going to be on ESPN. And so I just put it on to see what was happening. And there's my sister on TV. Like, I screamed. The whole neighborhood must have hurt me. And it was happening right then.
Being on TV when we were children was the most exciting thing that could ever happen to you.
When everybody didn't have a videotape in their pocket and there was no social media. Yeah, yeah, exactly. Like, it was up to somebody else.
It was so unusual. Like, if you had said to someone, I was on TV once, like, everyone would stop in the room to hear that story. Now it's like, if you haven't been on TV, I don't know what's wrong with you.
Yes. The word she got out on was gongorism, which is one of those annoying spelling bee words because it's spelled exactly like it sounds. Like, I think she tried to like get cute with it, but it was gongorism, gongorism. I think she like tried to put like a Y in there or something.
The spelling bee is wild. If you've never watched it, it's like words you've never heard of.
You've never heard of.
Do you know the definition of gongorism?
No, but the funny thing is she was also on SportsCenter, ESPN SportsCenter, the next morning. They showed her like gongorism, G-O-N, and then they were like, that ball is gongorism. And they like showed a clip of a guy hitting a home run. So then she had, can you imagine your 7th grade cred?
They were roasting her.
But the boys also saw her on SportsCenter because people still, you know.
Oh, so it was a win. I was afraid that she went and everybody was like for the rest of her life goofing on her. No, she was a star.
But I never got as far as this. I never got out of like the town spelling bee. In 7th grade, I lost with the word cappuccino, which was, I always say, like, there was no Starbucks back then. This was years before Starbucks. It was definitely the first time I had ever heard this word. And there's 2 P's and 2 C's in cappuccino. And it, you know why I hold a grudge to this day? Because the number of freaking coffee shops that spell cappuccino wrong.
That's hilarious.
It's like 2/3 do. And I'm like, you don't know. Why was I supposed to know as a 13-year-old? I didn't know it.
As Britney Spears says, that is just so typically you. Like, you walking through New York.
You spelled it wrong and you spelled it wrong.
Angrily glaring at cappuccino signs is peak Amy Wilson. This was a popular theme. Leslie got out on the word bureau.
Uh-huh.
Carrie got out on the word exercise.
Okay.
And then Melissa and I share. Now, we used to have in-school spelling bees. I was never in the big leagues like you, Wilsons. I was never playing for keeps. I wasn't heading for ESPN. I'm talking about my 1st grade Mrs. O'Rourke's classroom spelling bee every Friday that I would obsess about all week and then cry about all weekend if I didn't win. I got out on the word business, as did Melissa. And to this day, I said it to my kids 4 days ago. Bus B-U-S-I-N-E-S-S. That's how you spell business, and I will never forget it again. I mean, I could spell that word till the day I die.
Okay, I have one more spelling bee story.
Okay.
So, 3 years ago, my kid is in a grade school spelling bee at school, and the parents could go because this was in the before times when parents were allowed to show up at school for fun stuff. Remember that? So anyway, so I'm there for the spelling bee with a bunch of parents. My kid gets the word lightning. He spells it L-I-G-H-T-N-I-N-G. Ding. I'm sorry, that's wrong. And he goes and sits down. And I'm sitting there in the audience like...
slowly rising from your seat.
Right. Like, I don't want to be that mom, but my kid is out and that's how you spell lightning. I like don't know what to do. And I went over to the teacher at the end of the row and I'm like...
I don't think anyone is surprised to know that what you did was slowly rise and walk over.
Spelled that correctly, actually. The teacher's like, I know. So they stopped the spelling bee, you know, and they're like, actually, that is spelled correctly. Whoever was in charge thought it was spelled L-I-G-H-T-E-N-N-I-N-G. That's if you're bleaching, you know, your face, you're using lightening cream.
Mm-hmm.
And so he got to rejoin the spelling bee and then got out in the next word. So, you know.
That's probably for the best. It's probably good that like he didn't win the championships after, you know,
right.
His mom intervened. Even though you were correct, I still think it's for the best.
I didn't want to be still holding the grudge, so I decided to speak up.
We're going to be back with even more tiny grudges.
Margaret, exciting news. I am about to have a new baby nephew. And believe it or not, this will be my 13th nephew.
Amy, you're ready to give up your amateur status. You're a pro aunt at this point.
Our family has seen a lot of babies. And as soon as they start standing or walking, I send them all a whole lot of Pampers Cruisers 360.
Pampers Cruisers 360 don't have ordinary diaper tabs. Instead, they have a unique 360-degree stretchy waistband that moves with your newly mobile little one.
Pampers Cruisers 360 offer a gap-free fit that is up to 100% leak-proof, crucial once your baby is quite literally up and at 'em. And that gap-free fit helps prevent your baby from taking off their diaper, a habit you do not want them to get into.
You can say that again. And Pampers Cruisers 360 just got even better with a new blowout barrier. Need we even elaborate on the need for that, friends? For trusted protection, trust Pampers, the number one pediatrician recommended brand.
Download the Pampers Club app today and earn Pampers cash. Then redeem your Pampers cash for exclusive Pampers coupon savings and rewards.
Only redeemable via Pampers Club. Pampers cash has no cash value.
More and more, you hear about the importance of electrolytes as part of staying hydrated because you need the sodium and the potassium, not just the water. And whether you're looking to hydrate during a workout, while traveling, or at the end of a long night, Sports Research Hydrate Electrolytes have got you covered with over 65 trace minerals, 7 essential vitamins, and coconut water powder.
Crisp and refreshing and without any sugar, this is hydration powered by Sports Research. They're little packets you can just grab and take with you to mix into your water bottle on the go. My favorite flavor so far, Amy, gotta be the cherry pomegranate.
Interesting. My high schooler likes the lemon lime, and she keeps a few handy in her backpack for days that she has practice after school. These electrolytes have the sodium and the potassium that you need to go with it in the optimal ratio for daily hydration.
Visit sportsresearch.com and use code WHATFRESH at checkout for 50% off your purchase of Hydrate.
That's Sports Research, SportsResearch, sportsresearch.com, and use code WHATFRESH for 50% off your Hydrate electrolytes order.
Amy, do you know what a sippancy is?
It's a baby shower after the baby's born.
It's a baby shower that happens in the South after the baby is born, I must say. I had never heard the term sippancy until I married a Texan.
And if you're like Jewish, you don't have baby showers because it's bad luck to like get presents and stuff for the baby before the baby's born, at least for some Jewish people. But a sippancy, is it like we had it from my sister-in-law because she was on bed rest. Is a sippancy sort of always a thing or is it like it's just an option that's available?
So I'm a journeyman traveler to the world of Southern ways because I married a Texan, which I'm not even going to begin the whole debate about whether or not Texas is the South. But as far as I can tell, you do a full baby shower with like themes, colors, and like you have to, in triplicate writing, sign off on what you're like. Themes and colors are going to be, which was slightly problematic for me because I was like, our theme is have a baby and raise it, you know, which is not a correct theme. And then after the baby is born, you do another giant party that involves a whole nother round of excitement.
I might hold a grudge about that if I had to go to two open baby presents parties for one baby.
I don't know. It's all a blur now. I don't know if you even get presents at the Sip and See. It might just be an excuse to like gather the ladies and look at the baby.
Okay.
Again, we're not doing these anymore, guys. It's like germy mess of a nightmare.
Right.
But
right.
We did do a Sip and See with one of my children. So I really had to highlight this so that I could share the words Sip and See with people who are not familiar with this tradition.
It's sip your drink and see the baby. I feel obligated to say it.
Correct. Sip your drink. See the. There you go. You've cracked the code. Good job. You speak Texan now, Amy.
Yeah, yeah.
Megan says, a girl threw a drink on me at my daughter's Sip and See, and I couldn't throw her butt in the pool because my parents and in-laws were staring right at me. I mean, we don't get a lot of backstory here, but
no.
She says she cannot let it go. And I don't know what causes someone to throw a drink in someone's face at their Sip and See, but I think I would hold on to that.
I mean, she's one of the guests of honor. It's also your daughter's Sip and See. I had to like do like a pie, like a chart in my head, like an org chart to understand. So it was your own baby's Sip and See, and somebody threw a drink on you, but you couldn't throw her in the pool because your parents and your in-laws were watching.
Yeah, I guess you don't want to melee at the Sip and See. That's a bad look.
No.
Inciting incident. Megan, we need more information.
I need the inciting incident, exactly.
We need a full investigative podcast. Maybe that will be our next spinoff podcast. What the heck happened at Megan's Sip and See?
I'm going to need a little more information with Margaret Abels and Amy Wilson.
We need like Amy with the wall with the red strings being like, so what happened is?
Yes.
Cheryl came in. She had been dating Bob. Like whatever happened here, we need to get to the bottom of it. But yes, you should definitely hold a grudge. It's terrible.
Sometimes you have all the information you need, like Kendra J, who tells us that she had a competition in fourth grade to build an ice box at home and bring it to school to see whose ice cube had melted least by the end of the day. It was between her and another girl at the end of the day. Kendra J's ice cube was clearly bigger than the teacher said the other girl's was. What the heck?
I mean, hold on to that grudge. Similarly, I've talked about how my mom was an amazing costume maker when we were kids.
For Halloween, and yes.
And we were in a costume contest, and she had spent, you know, 4 months on this, I think, clown outfit for my brother that involved like stuffed clown shoes that were like these stuffed shoes that went, that she handmade, you know, that went over his shoes. And like she had dyed a mop red to make like a red funny wig. I mean, flawless. And she lost. I mean, my brother lost, but let's be honest, my mom lost to a kid who was like dressed as a box of French fries or something. And it came out later that they thought that my brother's costume was store-bought, and that's why they didn't give him the award.
It was too good.
It was too good. And let me tell you, talk about investigative podcasts. My mom tried to get to the bottom of that one for years. She was like, I want names. Let's talk about this judging committee.
Yeah.
I want background information. Like, she was not going to let that one rest. And she wasn't wrong. It was a horrible crime against her. But yeah, that one didn't go down easy.
No.
Amy's husband, not you, a different Amy, different husband crime.
Not my husband. No, he never does anything wrong.
Never, except for the omelet pan. Her husband dented her brand new crock pot. She gave him crap about it for years. Eventually, she was given a new one.
Do you still hold a grudge, Amy? Are you still mad that he dented it, even though you've gotten a new one?
Well, she's writing about it on Facebook, eh? She hasn't let it go.
I think she should let it go now that she has a new crock pot.
And I mean, respect. I had a teapot. You know, I love my tea. I'm having my tea right now. I had a teapot from Mackenzie Childs, which if you know, you know. It's like a very fancy kind of ceramic-y pottery brand. We happened to go in the summers to the Mackenzie Child outlet where you can get deals. And so I found this teapot that I was in love with. They're gorgeous. They're like Alice in Wonderland. And when I say, I'm saying tea kettle, not teapot. It was a kettle that went on the stove. And so my husband at one point turned my tea kettle on, I believe, I can't remember what, and then went to work. And so like 6 hours later, first of all, the house almost burned down. And second of all, my pot was completely melted. And I'm going to say I haven't really let go of it.
Has he replaced it?
So this is how I hold a grudge. I was like, I don't even want another one. Now I have an electric tea kettle. That's probably better. But no, he hasn't replaced it. I don't know. I don't even want another one. It was my special thing. I'm holding on.
Now I'm mad too. I don't even want another one now. Forget it.
That's how I am. I am really a grudge holder. I'm like, if I let him replace my teapot, which he could have done in 10 seconds and would have gladly done to get off the hook. I see the moral high ground of you ruined my, like, I would rather have no beautiful teapot than see the ground of like, you did me wrong.
This reminds me of my husband for Valentine's Day this year. He said, I got you something. It's really small and it's not here yet, but it was Valentine's Day. So I said, okay, you know, what is it? I have one coffee cup that I love to use that we're not even really sure where it came from. It just sort of showed up in our house and it's this China cup and I just love it. And I drink my coffee out of it. And he said, I was so worried that like one day I was going to break it handling it, like something would happen to it, that I bought you another one so I wouldn't be in trouble for breaking it.
Oh, that's very thoughtful. That's an anti-grudge.
Yeah. He's planning ahead for when he dents the crock pot. He already has another one lined up behind it.
Yeah. He should behind the scenes call my husband and give him some pointers because he should have probably had a backup teapot.
Consider it done.
Tiffany was in fifth grade.
Back to fifth grade.
They had a special ice cream treat for school.
Yeah.
All day she was looking forward to putting crushed cookies on her ice cream, only to have another kid in the class take the last of them. She was two people away.
She saw it happen. She literally watched it happen in front of her.
What I like is grudges, like where literally no one is at fault. This is the ultra tiny grudge because
this is really tiny.
My husband lit my beloved teapot on fire. Like, he is to blame, and therefore the grudge is valid. What I like even more is the grudge where, like, this kid had no idea that two kids behind him in line, he was dashing Tiffany's hopes of getting the right kind of ice cream.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, what kind of school? I mean, what a world that in fifth grade, someone was having an ice cream bar at school. What a wonderland.
They must have raised the most money for UNICEF or something. It must have been a really special achievement.
Who knows what was going on at this wonderland school? I mean, magical. But it didn't help Tiffany this day when the kid two in front of her took the last. She even says the kid that didn't wasn't a mean kid, but I never liked him after that.
Right.
Even as we grew up, I still always looked at him with a level of suspicion and slight anger. This is the perfect kind of grudge because it's like,
I get it. Yeah, because he has no idea.
Yeah.
He didn't do it on purpose, unlike Emily's friend from high school, a guy who she had a huge crush on at the time, asked her if she liked a band, this certain band. And being the silly teenage girl Emily was, she said, yes, oh my gosh, I love them. And he said, oh, I just made them up because I knew you would say yes to be cool. She says she was so mortified and she's still bitter 35 years later.
I mean, I want to judge this guy, but I definitely used to do this to my little sister. I definitely used to.
Siblings are different. Siblings are just like,
I know.
It's the cruelty crucible.
This is such a classic mean kid move. Like, oh, do you like this band? Blah, blah, blah. Do you like this band, Dead Spider? And it's like, are you kidding me? Dead Spider is my favorite. There is no band Dead Spider, you loser. Like, what? This, you can legit hold a grudge. It's bad.
I'm having like a flashback, a grade school flashback. I remember like one of the mean girls in my class asking me if I liked the band who sang Hot Stuff. And I was like, sure, I do. And she said, it's not a band. It's Donna Summer. It was a solo artist. And I was like, no.
You got me on a technicality.
Yeah. Yes. But I was totally embarrassed. I'm just remembering this. Yeah. This is a thing people do, apparently. Catch you in a lie. Catch you like in a band that doesn't exist. Haha.
Let's level up this example of Emily's with Gretchen's.
All right.
Someone in my class teased me during math. He ended up becoming a rock star later. And every time I heard his hit, I mean, she maybe gets some satisfaction from the fact that he's a one-hit wonder and is well-known for being a jerk. But this is incredible.
Episode 2 of I'm Gonna Need Some More Information Here with Margaret Abels and Amy Wilson is, who was this rock star?
I'm gonna say, if you want a deep dive on the What Fresh Hell podcast page, you may be able to get to the bottom of that mystery.
Okay.
We're not gonna call him out here because that's not what Fresh Hell is about.
Yeah, yeah.
But I'm gonna say the answer is out there. If you wanna get your red string out and be against the wall being like, who? But I definitely find this fact. I always think about that, and I feel like they've made movies about it. Like, what happens when, like, the weird kid you know goes on to become famous, and you're like, that's the kid who was mean to me. I had this. My bully in grammar school's mom was on a soda commercial when I was young.
Which, as you said, just to reestablish, means she was like basically the Queen of England. Like, who could ever even know somebody so famous? Yes.
Yeah. I mean, Meghan Markle, take a seat. Like, this is true celebrity.
Right. Right, right.
And it haunted me. Like, when I saw that commercial on TV, it was like someone reaching through the TV and stabbing me. The idea that, I don't know,
that your enemy just had this like ace card that they would always be able to play, that their mother was in a soda commercial.
I just was so like jealous, rageful, hurt to see like, how can this family be thriving when the kid makes fun of me on the bus? Like, it just seemed, I don't know. It just felt like taunting me through the airwaves, Amy. I can't describe it. It was just a grudge. Amy, let's talk about, because I love this one as well. I have so many of these things you were not allowed to have as kids that other kids had. Lillian's best friend had a Snoopy snow cone machine. She was never allowed to have one. Her husband got her one for her 30th birthday.
It's really a sweet gift.
Ah, it's so good because they were so, mine was Easy Bake Ovens. We were not allowed to have them. I mean, they were house fires waiting to happen and they were childhood burns waiting to happen. I mean, they were not a good idea fundamentally, but the idea that I was not allowed to have an Easy Bake Oven, I just tried to buy one for my kid for her birthday because that's how bitter I still am that I didn't have one.
We have some youngs listening. The Easy Bake Oven, it was a toy oven that was a light bulb, right? It was powered by a light bulb and you got special cake mixes with it, which I don't know what you did when you ran out of the two cake mixes because there was no internet to figure out how to get more.
You threw it away.
Yeah. But you could bake like a child cake in the Easy Bake Oven and it just was, it probably didn't turn out like the ad, but boy, it sure looked amazing.
Yeah, it didn't taste good and 90% of the time it involved some sort of flesh burn, but it was still like the best thing to have. And then Kimberly says to Lillian, that reminds her of her husband telling me that he still holds a grudge against his parents for never buying him a giant box of Crayola crayons with a sharpener.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I bought one for my son a couple of weeks ago and he told me to make sure it's on full display when his mom comes over. In your face, Mom. Yeah. I mean, I definitely, the list of things that we did not have as children, I held on to them deeply.
I got every Christmas morning, my grandmother, my tweet tweet grandmother, Mary Connor Wilson, she would give us all an orange and I think some money, it might have been $20 or something, and a new box of 64 Crayola crayons with a sharpener on the back. And I mean, you can take the money, that new box of crayons.
That was living.
Oh, yeah. So good.
We'll be right back with even more small grudges.
Hello, Hellions. You know we listen to a lot of podcasts that aren't our own, and today we want to tell you about a podcast that really speaks to us and will speak to any parent of a child with special education needs.
The podcast is called Understood Explains. This season of the show is hosted by teacher and special education expert Juliana Ortube, and it's all about how to navigate individual education plans, also known as IEPs.
The latest season of Understood Explains covers topics like how to tell if your child needs an IEP, and it busts common myths about special education. One of my kids has an IEP, and I found this podcast so validating and so helpful. I feel better equipped to advocate for my child's educational needs now.
This podcast is helpful for parents in many different situations, whether your child already has an IEP or you're just starting to wonder if they might need extra support in the classroom. Juliana has content for kids of all ages and for kids who are learning English as an additional language as well.
To listen to Understood Explains, search for Understood Explains in your podcast app. That's Understood Explains.
Margaret, I've been at the research again, looking into metabolic health and more importantly, metabolic flexibility, which turns out is the key to improved energy levels, better sleep, better fitness, all the things. And I found out about all this because we got a chance to try Lumen, the first handheld device that helps you manage your metabolic health.
Lumen works when you breathe into it. If you do that first thing in the morning or after a workout, Lumen measures your metabolism by measuring the amount of carbon dioxide in your breath. It's science, people. That lets you see exactly what's going on in your body in real time.
Then you use Lumen's app to get tailored guidance to improve your sleep, your nutrition, even stress management. If you're interested in figuring out the effects of different sorts of foods on your body, Lumen is a really cool way to see what's actually happening as your body burns different fuel sources.
If you want to take the next step in improving your health, go to lumen.me and use Fresh to get $100 off your Lumen.
That is lumen.me. Lumen.me and use the code Fresh at checkout for $100 off.
Thank you, Lumen, for sponsoring this episode. And now, grudges your kids hold against you.
From the What Fresh Health podcast.
Sure, you got each of your children half a dozen perfectly sourced gifts over the holidays. But then in January, you gave the younger one a slightly larger piece of cake. That won't be forgotten. Ever.
According to your kid, he could have definitely made the NBA if it wasn't for your family's short jeans. Grudge level? Huge.
Yeah, your kid who can't remember to shut the front door, they will definitely remember the day you were 15 minutes late for pickup because you were binging Love Island and forgot the time forever.
4 birthdays ago, your daughter wanted an LOL surprise doll. You got her an LOL color change pet. You will never live that down.
You made soggy French fries last month at dinner. Every time you make fries for the next 5 years, your children will say, "I sure hope these aren't soggy."
That time you insisted they turn off Fortnite and made them lose the battle royale they were about to crush? Yeah, their college roommates will be hearing about that.
You told your kids they couldn't have dessert, and then they caught you in the pantry eating cookies. You're busted, Mom, and this grudge isn't going anywhere.
This has been Grudges Your Kids Hold Against You,
from the What Fresh Hell podcast. Amy, it shan't surprise you to find out that the mother-in-laws did not come out real well in the grudges category. I mean, clearly, we could do 9,000 episodes on reasons that people are mad at their mothers-in-law and really not even begin to scratch the surface of what's going on out there. We have talked about mothers-in-law before. We both are lucky to have excellent mothers-in-law in our lives.
Yes. Yes, we are.
But we're going to start with Michelle because this one drops all the rest of them. Like, and nothing else even is in this category. Michelle's mother-in-law showed up to her wedding in a black dress and told people she was in mourning.
I probably thought that was hilarious.
Not a tiny grudge.
No.
Yeah, that's a major grudge. I don't think that's more of a this can't be fixed episode, I would say.
That's beyond the scope of this podcast episode.
Correct. We cannot even begin to unpack that here. But I will say I want to make, what do you call it, a public service announcement at this juncture, Amy?
Please do.
Mothers-in-law everywhere, do not cut your grandchildren's hair without permission. This seems to be a leading factor in grudges.
I love my mother-in-law, and she kind of did this. She didn't cut my baby's hair, but when my oldest was a baby, he had sweet little bit head of baby hair, and he also had a lot of cradle cap.
Mm-hmm.
And we went out like to dinner or something for the night, and she watched him, and we came home. He was maybe 4 months old. And she said, I just got at it and I got rid of all his cradle cap. And she had also gotten rid of all his hair. So we went away with like a hair baby with cradle cap, admittedly, and came back to a baby with neither cradle cap nor hair, which I held a grudge about. I don't anymore. He has hair, so it's all good. But it was from a place of love.
Yeah, it's a mind-strewn minefield out there. The other thing I would say is that mothers-in-law, one of your first assignments, I had this in reverse. Learn to spell your daughter-in-law's name right up front. Just get on that.
Wow. Yes.
Because if you, and also call your daughter-in-law by what she wants to be called by. My mother-in-law has a common name that is spelled slightly unusually. And I think the first maybe 2 times that I wrote something down, I spelled it incorrectly. You got to lock in on the correct spelling of the name. And then if your daughter-in-law has not changed her name, that is her name. So you don't use the husband's name if she has not changed her name. Just commit to everybody's name they want to be called. I don't care what that person wants to be called. What do you want to be called? How is it spelled? Lean in. That's my advice from the mother-in-law grudges.
Alexandra Billings said this on Facebook and she was so right. Like if we can call somebody The Rock, then we can like just call people what they want to be called. So that's well said.
Yeah, let's just get on that page. That's not the hill to die on, people. This is a funny grudge, and I have a similar one. Sheila says, I have a grudge against a childhood friend for serving Chex Mix only and playing no music at his wedding reception that lasted longer than his actual marriage did. I am truly a petty Betty about this.
Sheila, I need to understand, where else could have you been that night? I guess that's where the grudge comes from. Like, it was a boring wedding reception, but could you have washed your hair?
Gotta push back. Like, I think a bad party is unacceptable. Like, don't make me put a bra on to come eat Chex Mix. Like, I will say, my wedding was extremely long because we had a Catholic mass. And I know there was definitely some feelings about the fact that my wedding service was 1 hour and 15 minutes long. Like, people who are not used to that, they don't want to sit through it.
No, mine was also extremely lengthy and on the hottest day of that year. It was north of 90 degrees in the church. And we did the full on pomp and circumstance. We're talking coronation, Buckingham Palace.
sorry, guys, you're going to be here for a while. Mm-hmm. It's Catholics.
Exactly.
Sit down, get comfy. We're going to be here for a while. I went to a party once that involved, again, it was kind of, I had gotten dressed up and it was years and years ago. And I got there and then it was a million rules. You have to go move your car. You parked it in the wrong spot. And then finally got in and it was all vegan, no alcohol. And I just feel like that should be disclosed beforehand. I'm fine. If you want to invite me to your all vegan, no alcohol, very high maintenance parking event.
Right.
I can make my own decision, but don't, that shouldn't be a surprise party. It should be disclosed in advance. Now, if it's a wedding, you've got a different situation because you probably have to go. But yeah, I definitely had some feelings about having driven and like gotten dressed up and then being trapped at a vegan, no alcohol party that I thought was a regular party. I love the term petty Betty. That really works for me.
Let's all be petty Bettys. You do have to wonder, like, to not have music at a wedding, like, you have to work hard to do that at this point. I mean, stick an iPhone, like, in a large bowl and then you've got a speaker.
Yeah, I assume it maybe it was some sort of, you know, religious thing or something. There has to be a choice.
Maybe it was a silent meditation retreat reception.
I love Andrea. My cousin and her best friend were always more stylish than me.
So the cousin best friend is one person. This is a hyphenate, I believe. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay, just setting that in the... Okay, can picture it.
One day, my grandma bought me a cool red tracksuit and my cousin loved it. I felt awesome that I had done something good in the fashion department. Wait for it. The next day, my cousin came over and had bought herself an even cooler red tracksuit.
What?
I told her I loved it, but it stabbed me in the heart and still does to this day. She's still one of my best friends, so I guess this grudge qualifies as tiny.
Imitation is the sincerest form of flattery and the easiest path to a grudge held for a long time.
Yeah, for sure. My bestie's kind of like this. Like everything she does is just effortlessly cool. And I definitely was always slightly living in the shadow of her fabulous coolness. And definitely if I had bought a tracksuit, I don't know that she would have bought the tracksuit, but she would have definitely looked cooler in the tracksuit. You know, sometimes it's like, did you ever know that you're my hero? Like I'm the wind beneath her wings. That's I got to just settle for.
It must have been cold there in her shadow.
It was cold. It was ice cold. And yet
the tracksuit.
I also got to bask in the warmth of her glory. So listen, you make choices.
The saddest part of this is it's from the very person, like I'm picturing you, your best friend slash cousin comes over and is like, ooh, I love your tracksuit. And you're like, yes, I did something right for once because this person gave me her approval. That's what really hurts. Her approval of your choice meant more than anything else in the world. And then she approved it so much, she copied it.
So stabbed to the heart, as she says, all these years later. Suzanne says, when we were teenagers, similar theme, my slightly older sister, 2 years, would always give me grief about my makeup style. She then took my favorite eyeshadow on her senior trip to Hawaii for a week without asking, still mad.
That stuff was like $7.99 at the drugstore. You don't get your allowance for another week. What are you supposed to do?
Listen. Wet and wild. That's what we had. Wet and wild. I mean, it's classic. Sisters bar. That's what my grandmother and her sister were still mad about 70 years later. Like sisters taking your stuff and bar. I remember I was applying for a job once. And one of the questions were, if we were to ask your closest people about your negative qualities, what would it be? And I came home and I was talking to my sisters and I said, that was a really weird question. Like, if we were to ask people closest to you what your negative qualities, what would it be? And I was like, I said that sometimes, I can't remember. I said something like vaguely complimentary of myself. Like, sometimes I'm just too great, you know, like that kind of answer.
I love too much. Right.
Sometimes I love too much. And my sisters were both like, it's that you borrow our stuff and ruin it and are careless with other people's things. And they were just like completely united in their verdict that
they didn't have to sidebar first. Right.
They were like, there's no discussion here. They're like, give me that guy's number. I'm going to call him back. It's not that you love too much. It's that you like take my sweater and when you give it back, it's got a large hole in it that you haven't mentioned. Guilty as charged. Grudge away, people.
This is a good one. Chrissy says her sister went with her ex-boyfriend to Chrissy's senior prom. She's 3 years younger. So this younger sister is a freshman. It's Chrissy who's the senior. The younger sister takes Chrissy's ex to Chrissy's prom, also set her wedding date to a month before Chrissy's. This can't be fixed.
No, can't be fixed. This is not a small grudge. What is a small grudge is Caitlin's husband is still angry at a local pumpkin farm because the guy told him a squash from the $1 table was $5. And then had a little attitude when Caitlin's husband put it back. Every time we drive by, the husband announces, "I hate that pumpkin farm." It's been 10 years. That's a truly small grudge.
I hate that squash farm.
I love that. It's like, this was from the $1 table. This squash, like a squash related beef is just something you need to ask some hard questions when you're having a squash related beef with someone. Caitlin also, she has another grudge for herself. She never got to be Mary in the Christmas pageant. Oh, that's a burn. That's a serious burn.
Yeah. My kids have all now gone through school without, none of them were Mary or Joseph. Or the baby Jesus. I was really chuffed about that. They pick, there's a real baby to be the baby Jesus in the pageant every year at my kids' grade school. But they definitely choose the baby by sort of being like, who is a baby? And so the year that my youngest daughter was 2 months old, she would have been perfect to be the baby. And instead, they gave it to another baby who was like 10 months old and who like was taking out her pacifier and like trying to climb down and like, you know, crawl away. So then like, come on, come on.
You should have been slowly walking around holding that baby. Maybe up for like a month before that pageant, you know?
Yeah. I couldn't believe we didn't get the look for that. I'm still mad.
Stay mad. Outrage. Passed over. That's your inner actress coming out. You're like, we were perfect for the cast and they went with someone else.
Right.
Right.
I timed my ovulation precisely to get a baby Jesus in this pageant.
How very dare you?
I know. Well, I feel like there are so many, we're going to have to do a part two of this.
Yeah. I mean, there are a million tiny things that you all are holding on to. And I love that for you. And I don't want to correct you at all.
It looks great on you.
It looks great on you. You wake up every day and you choose violence and rage. And I respect it highly.
Just like us.
The $1 squash table, I'll be thinking about that for like 3 months. I just love it. Like that pumpkin farm tried to do us wrong over that squash. Love it for Caitlin's husband.
I'm going to remember Lillian's ice cream cone machine desire.
I will say, Lillian.
Yep.
Snoopy snow cone machine. We were the same. Like we were not allowed to have. My mom, correctly again, was very against anything that involved food out of the kitchen, as we've discussed. So the Snoopy snow cone machine and the Easy Bake Oven were both out.
By definition.
From the jump, because they would have involved us messing around with food in our rooms. So they were dead on arrival.
Plus, like you had an oven and a blender already. You didn't really need your like separately branded. Doesn't work as well.
Yeah, we never even got down to that level of logic, but you're absolutely right. But I agree that like I can sing you the Snoopy Snow Cone Machine theme. Its name is the Snoopy Snow Cone Machine. And I still get bitter when it jumps into my head because I never had a Snoopy Snow Cone Machine.
The theme song for the Snoopy Ice Cone Machine just says its name is the Snoopy Ice Cone Machine.
Okay, Amy, if you want to go there, no, I was just trying to give you the brief version, but it goes, you put ice cubes in and get a snow cone out. Yum, yum, fun is what it's all about.
Come on, it'd take them like 5 minutes to write that song.
I mean, you have a new grudge against the theme songwriters.
Did you know that wherever you're listening right now, you could just like pause this episode and you can share it. If you're listening from your phone, you could share this right now.
You could send it to the rock star who was mean to you in fifth grade.
You could share it to your friend who borrowed your Snoopy ice cream machine and then broke it and or never gave it back.
You could, although you probably deleted their number already. Yes.
Or your sister who took your boyfriend to the prom, to your prom.
Look on the app on your phone and you will see a share button. And then you can just text it, email it, share it however you want with friends and say, check this out. It's a great podcast. Would you do that today?
We would love that.
And then we'll never have a grudge against you.
No, we love our listeners.
No, I mean, we might have slight grudges against a couple of non-sharers, but we're not going to publicize it. Friends, nurse those grudges out there. I loved this episode. It really made me laugh today.
Let's do a part two.
Thanks for listening.
When it it comes to raising kids, there's so much to consider. Things like, what do we feed them? When do we feed them? How do they sleep? What does it look like to raise kind kids? How does their nervous system work? How do I keep myself calm? What are my triggers? There's so much that comes into play. And we are distilling all of that information for you at Voices of Your Village podcast, where we bring experts in the field of early childhood and education and psychology and across the board so that you don't have to comb the internet for information. You get to show up and hang out and have shame-free, judgment-free conversations and insights into what it looks like to raise kind, empathetic, emotionally intelligent humans. I'm Alyssa Blask Campbell. I have a master's degree in early childhood education. I'm a mom of two, and I am walking this journey right alongside you doing this work. Come hang out with me at Voices of Your Village, and we can dive into real conversations with actionable tips.
Oh, hey, everybody.
It's us, Blair and Molly, your old pals from Toddler Purgatory. Two moms who are also actors, who are also creative beings, who sometimes feel stuck.
And this is our new podcast, Unsticking It with Blair and Molly. What happens when your creative spark just seems to disappear? Gone.
Poof. Bye.
See ya. What happens when life gets in the way of your creativity instead of nourishing it? That's what happened to Molly and me. We felt like the thing that drove us creatively stopped working and impending doom had in fact impended.
Totally. So we decided to do something about it. And that was steal ideas about getting unstuck from the most creative people we can find. We talk to guests about how to break through the mucky, gluey, sticky wall that can get between you and your creativity. We hear about their journeys, their successes, their challenges, and even their bougie coffee shop orders.
And we're not just talking Bob Ross type paint on paper artists here, though we talk to them too. We're talking to actors, creative directors, dancers, and people who are working hard to be their best creative selves in a world that can sometimes feel real uncreative.
We all have something to teach each other, so let's steal their ideas together.
Join us, won't you, as we deep dive into how to unstick ourselves from the life gunk that can get in the way of our creative freedom. Pandemics, school calendars,
world events, lack of sleep. Oh, get out of their life gunk.
And let's get back to your best creative self. Subscribe to Unsticking It with Blair and Molly.
You're not going to want to miss an episode.
Unsticking It with Blair and Molly, because sometimes life sucks.
Unsticking.